had no other choice.
We sued the FBI.
Stories that challenge prevailing narratives and point the compass toward the truth.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That is the voice of Joseph Hanneman. He is our guest for part two on an update on J6. He's the senior investigative reporter for the Epoch Times. I want to tell you that the Justice Department is busily arresting more people. In fact, at twice the rate they did in 2 years ago. So they are intent on arresting as many people that were there as possible. Neighbors and friends are turning them in. It's a beautiful story. Joseph's going to talk to us about that day. He'll also talk about the FBI whistleblowers. It's fascinating, interesting, and we're equipping ourselves for whatever the future holds. So I hope you'll stay tuned. You can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any of the social media platforms. You can listen on any podcast platform. AFR.net is our home base. You go to the podcast section, and there we are. You can also listen on Spotify and Amazon and all of those. You can also go to sandyrios.com. That's my website, and you can find the show. It's pretty easy to listen from there. One of the reasons we can bring this information to you is the wonderful support of Preborn. And, of course, it's my delight to be able to talk to you about what they're doing. There was a girl named Alyssa, and she wanted to confirm her pregnancy, so she went in for an ultrasound at a Preborn Network clinic while her boyfriend Damien waited outside. They were planning a trip to Louisiana for an out-of-state abortion when they found the clinic, which was just across the street from Alyssa's college in Houston. Miraculously, they noticed the building for the very first time. Alyssa was astonished and deeply moved when the ultrasound revealed beautiful, identical twins. She called Damien, "Come inside, now!" Although he was reluctant, Damien eventually confronted the truth he just couldn't deny. Faced with his baby's lives right in front of him, he wept. Alyssa, Damien, and the ultrasound technician watched in amazement as the twins interacted with each other, already closely bonded. Despite being early in her pregnancy, Alyssa's little babies were full of personality and sucking each other's toes. The two strong parents were so moved by this powerful encounter that they decided to cancel their trip to Louisiana. Okay, you see what Preborn does? Do you see why I love their ministry? Do you see why I ask you to help them? Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for the second part on J6 with Joseph Hanneman, senior investigative reporter for the Epoch Times, on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Your second video, which is called The Real Story of J6, The Long Road Home, I think that's the correct title, you point out that now we know more about some people in that crowd who were definitely not Trump supporters. So let's talk about that, Joe. There's one guy, and I've seen this video before. It's the guy who's standing there by the Capitol breaking out, trying to pull out the windows when a Trump supporter, obviously, tries to stop him, and they get... I'll let you tell the story. What's the story with that guy? What do we know about him?
Well, this was something that happened on the east patio, just to the side of the historic Columbus doors on the east side of the Capitol. And there was a radio journalist from Michigan, Bobby Powell, who was filming that day, and he was up there on that patio, and this person came up to him who was dressed, his clothing and such, just screamed, government agent. But he came up and noticed that some of the windows were broken, and he said to Bobby, well, why don't you finish breaking this out and go in? And Bobby told him, because that would be against the law, and he just continued to do what he was doing, but then he turned his camera around a few seconds later to see this this person pulling a large sheet of glass out of the window. This is tempered glass, so you know when it cracks, it all tends to stick together. And he pulled this sheet out, and when this person saw that he was being filmed, he quickly dropped it. He just dropped it in a pile on the ground, and then he moved away and tried to blame somebody else for it. I mean, we've got that on video. He grabs another fellow and says, you can't do that. And we do not know who that man is. Bobby Powell tried to get the FBI interested in his video, and they were not interested, and they've actually labeled him, basically, they've tried to label him as a kook, and he's had difficulty getting people to pay attention to that. And the sedition hunters and people on the left, they like to mock this video. They claim that this person wasn't any kind of a provocateur or an agent, but yet we don't know the name of the individual in his story. But whether he was doing that on behalf of someone, you would think it was egregious enough that he should have been charged. And here we are 3.5 years later. We still don't know who this fella is. And he's one of easily more than 100 suspicious actors who have done things that would raise your eyebrows and make you wonder why haven't they been identified? Why aren't they being sought? And, you know, folks that committed some serious violence, you would think they would have been a priority for the FBI, yet we don't even know their actual names. So that continues to be an issue, and I can tell you right now that I think it's going to become an ongoing issue and a larger issue as we start to focus more on these people in many of the cases, including the Ashley Babbitt shooting, asking questions about what were they doing there and how did they get there and were they put up to it. You know, that's something that I think is a legitimate inquiry, and you know, we're trying to find those answers, but it can be very difficult because until fairly recently we did not have access to the fullness of the security cameras and the video from Capitol Police. Well, that's started to change, and we found some eye-opening things since we've had access to, you know, now it's, I believe it's 20,000 hours of video. Wow. That the GOP in the House has posted online, and it makes a huge difference when you can take a look at what actually was happening in those hallways.
And that's not even all of it, is it?
No, that's about half of what they are planning to post, but even that 40,000 is not everything. They have video going back to, I believe, December 28th through through January 7th, and that's probably easily more than 100,000 hours of video. So it's a massive collection of potential evidence. And you know, as we've spent time in this, it's becoming increasingly obvious why they didn't want the public to see some of these things, because in some cases, you can really figure things out, find out if charges were legitimate or if there's exculpatory information in there that hasn't been given to defendants. And we found all of those things to be true. So it's, you know, once all of that is out, I think it will, for the first time, kind of level the playing field a little bit. But, of course, that doesn't necessarily help the, you know, the many hundreds of people whose cases have already been disposed of.
Right. Ray Epps, of course, is famous for being by the fences, for being, he's seen, you know, like he's on like 2 days trying to get people to go to the Capitol with his bullhorn. And then he's by the fences, those fences that were put up kind of loosely. I think we need to restate that the Capitol was terribly unguarded. Trump had called for a National Guard, and the mayor of the city and the people in charge, Nancy Pelosi, at the House weren't interested. I talked to Mike Waller the day after Dan, and Joseph, and I think he was there, and he described the whole thing to me. And one of the first things he said before we were getting any news, he said there was no police presence. I couldn't believe how few police there were actually considering what the event was going to be. But back to those fences, I learned something from your second video last night that really I did not know. A Ray Epps is seen encouraging a guy to move a fence, but now you say in this video that there was like a coordinated effort by people you think knew each other to take away those barricades. Can you say a word about that?
Well, yeah, there's evidence that some of the weaker fences, the plastic, what we would call up here in Wisconsin, snow fence, that was green, that was used in some places to try to wall off the property so people would realize that they were not allowed to go on that. Well, there were individuals who cut those fences down. They took snips and they rolled it up and put it next to a sidewalk or somewhere under a tree, and suddenly that entire expanse of grass was open. And these fences very often did have signs on them that said area closed, and cite whatever statutory authority. And by the time most people came over from the ellipse from President Trump's speech, many of those signs were gone, and they would say, look, we didn't see anything like that. In some places, the signs were there, but it's like anything. If you're in the midst of this massive crowd, tens and tens of thousands of people, are you necessarily going to notice those things? I don't think the average person walking there that day could have imagined that it would be a crime for them to go to the U.S. Capitol, especially when there were six events that were had permits approved by Capitol Police, including some that were on the immediate grounds of the Capitol. So it's, this has been raised many times in defending some of these folks who said, how could you know and how could you get to an approved event if you didn't walk across the Capitol grounds? And the judges have really flicked that aside. Those things will be probably more serious issues on appeal, where many of these things that have been dismissed in the initial cases are going to get a review, because the police did not, they have a capability, they have a loudspeaker system outside that, and almost, I believe they may even refer to it as the voice of God, is something that you would hear it. It's very loud, and had they used that, people wouldn't have been confused as to if you stay here beyond right now, you will be arrested and you will be charged for the crime. They did not use that system, so I think a lot of people felt like they had no idea that they were doing something that could lead to their arrest. And that would certainly explain why so many continued up to the Capitol, and indeed why they stayed. They tried all these crowd control techniques on the crowd, and none of them worked. And I think once people felt like they were being attacked, and they're just standing there, and suddenly, you've got something blowing up right next to your ear and burning at 1,000-plus degrees, that there's a problem there, that you've suddenly become a target. So it's, I guess getting back to your original question about the fencing, that was something that where most of the people crossed onto the Capitol grounds, those signs and that green fencing were simply not there. The bike rack fencing that they use are flimsy. They're easy to knock over. Not what I would call a serious barrier defense, especially when they're across the sidewalk, but all the grass on either side is wide open. So crowds just, they moved as a group, and people just kept on going.
Yeah, and I just to make the point, at least that I understood from the documentary, was that it looked like a coordinated effort. And I think we have Ray Epps, whispering in this guy's ear, and the guy moves the fence. And I just think I want to recommend that people watch the video. It's wonderful. It's the documentary. It's January 6th. The real story of J6, The Long Road Home. One of the things you featured in this second video that was really interesting and gripping to me were at least the two FBI whistleblowers and also the guy from DNI and others. Steve Friend was a guest on the show, so we certainly heard from him. But your other former FBI, whose name escapes me in this moment, dark-haired, who was being transferred and the FBI did something horrible to him because he was speaking up about going into the homes doing these early morning raids. He was not happy with it. And so he was in the process of a transfer to, I believe, Virginia, and they just actually cut him off in the middle of that, away from his things. He tells the story about his children, and he actually starts to cry. It's very, very moving. So I'm curious, Joseph, where what the status is for Steve Friend and this other FBI whistleblower. Do you know?
Well, yeah, the gentleman you mentioned with the beard and the dark hair, that's Garrett O'Boyle, and he actually is still an active, but he is an FBI special agent. He is indefinitely suspended. And his case, he raised questions when he was assigned to some of the January 6th investigations, and they were going to some unusual extremes to try to match faces to people that they wanted to investigate. And he raised an alarm when he said, look, these are 25-year-old mugshots or driver's license photos. You cannot base an identification on something like this. And he objected to that. And, you know, shortly after that, he found himself taken off cases. And he was in the process of moving from Wichita, the resident agency in Wichita, to suburban D.C., and his first day on the job, he showed up, and they took his gun and his credentials away, and they suspended him. And he hadn't moved into his new home yet. His things were all in storage. And when they suspend you at the FBI, your salary is taken away, your benefits taken away, and you're also told you cannot work. And, in fact, they've gone so far as to try to prevent some of these whistleblowers from taking Give, Send, Go donations, that they would view that somehow as a criminal act. And Garrett ended up living in an RV. I mean, they became homeless, and an in-law had a camper in their driveway, and you had this family of four, including a newborn, living in a camper because the FBI had taken away his salary. Despite the fact that he was a congressional whistleblower and had made disclosures to Congress, and you know, he continues in that same status, although he has kind of found a second career of speaking out about these issues, and he continues to do that, but he is actually officially still I don't say on payroll, but he's still an agent, and eventually, you know, I'm sure he's going to be forced to make a decision, because I don't believe they will ever put him back on status.
Well, the thing he said that really moved me, he said, I think he said he'd been in Afghanistan. He'd fought in some capacity. He said, I don't mind this for me, because this is right. And I will not, you know, the Constitution is my guide, not these orders I'm getting. I don't mind for me, but I mind for my children. And his children are small. And it was very moving to me. And I think Steve Friend, one of the things he said, Joe, is that, you know, they stuck their neck way out to go be whistleblowers and testify before the committee at Congress, Jim Jordan's committee. And then after that, there was just nothing happened. They thought they would be protected, and then they thought something would actually happen. But nothing has happened. I mean, other than the Epoch Times, I do believe that because of your writing, Julie Kelly, also, people, it's down in the DNA of Americans now that at least what they've been told about January 6th is not quite true. I think that's happened because of your reporting. But we still gotten really nothing out of Congress or nothing out of people that could actually do something. Do you agree with that, or am I missing some pleasant report?
Well, that's largely true. The Judiciary Committee, I thought, had a wonderful hearing with the FBI whistleblowers, including Marcus Allen, who is an analyst that also found himself without salary and being suspended. And there was no follow-up to that. And I think the whistleblowers all felt a bit betrayed, because it didn't lead anywhere else. And the Judiciary Committee really hasn't done anything in terms of a follow-up on that issue or other January 6th issues. But there is some good news in that in the House, in that the a committee where it was a subcommittee led by Barry Loudermilk that oversees the Capitol Police, they have been doing some serious investigating. They've been very quiet about it, but they have held maybe a half dozen hearings this year that have been very illuminating, things like the National Guard issue and exactly what happened with the National Guard and the denial of it and the delays and the difficulty that the police chief, Steve Sund, had in getting help from the National Guard. They've also investigated the pipe bombs, although I think after watching some of the testimony, you might be tempted to call them the alleged pipe bombs, yes, because it certainly appears they were stage props, and they were very likely not planted by this shadowy figure that the FBI claims put this under the cloud of darkness on January 5th. So we are starting to see things come out, and this committee, from what I understand, has gotten a lot of pushback from Republicans. You would think the people that would be supporting their co-legislators in uncovering these things, but the folks that work on that committee have told me that their number one obstacle isn't the Democrats. It's actually some of the Republicans that have tried to basically tamp down their investigations or take resources away. And, you know, this is not a group that has 57 attorneys and investigators like the January 6th committee that Nancy Pelosi appointed. They're using their regular staff. And until very recently, they haven't even had dedicated investigators to the J6 issue. Now, that's starting to change. I think Barry Loudermilk has done some incredible stuff, very courageous, when he's fighting against some of his own people to try to be able to continue focusing on it and maybe get some extra resources that, and Speaker Mike Johnson, to his credit, has started providing more resources to this group. So I think we are going to see some truth and some answers coming out of that. It just it can't be the only committee in Congress that looks at this. The judiciary has a very important role that they should be playing, and you know, you can hope that will change, and we'll see some hearings about the federal courts and some of the things that have gone on and the weaponization of the government. There's an important subcommittee of judiciary on weaponization that also has been fairly quiet on this issue. So that's been perhaps the most surprising. After the Republicans took back the House, you might have expected a much more aggressive search for the truth, but it wasn't, and until recently it was pretty well silent.
Well, I can vouch for everything you've just said. I won't get sidetracked on it, but I know that everything you just said is true, and there's more. But the thing we need to make clear now, in closing here, Joseph, is that the arrests now from the Justice Department are actually doubling. Talk to us about that. The Justice Department now, after all of this, after 3 years, what are they now still doing?
Well, as of the 6th of May, the Department of Justice has reached an arrest level of 1,424. And the arrest rate started picking up last fall, but really since the 1st of January 2024, and through the first 4 months, they have had 159 January 6th arrests. A year ago, the first 4 months, it was in the high 50s, and the year before, a similar figure. So we're looking at nearly twice the number of arrests. And so it's a very steep increase. You'd have to go back to the first year of the investigation in 2021 to see the kind of numbers that they are putting up right now. And, you know, Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, and the U.S. Attorney in D.C., Matthew Graves, have been very clear that I hesitate to call this a crusade, but they certainly are acting that way, that they are not going to stop. And they've ramped things up. And this could easily see 2,000, 2,200 even cases that are launched before the statute of limitations runs out on January 6th of 2026. So this is definitely a major uptick. Some of them are minor trespassing related. Some of them involve allegations of serious violence. So one has to wonder why those cases weren't prioritized and put up front 3 years ago to be charged with felony assault on police 3.5 years after the fact. Is you have to wonder about the prioritization of things. So it's really becoming a much more aggressive prosecution effort.
Yeah. Mike Howell from Heritage told me that they actually have a citizen, like there's a name. I'm going to say Citizen Brigade because I can't remember the exact name, but a group of citizens who are actually combing through Facebook, all kinds of social media, people that are turning in their neighbors, family members, friends. That's how this is continuing, as I understand it. Is that right?
Well, there are a number of groups that they call themselves hunters. There's the Sedition Hunters is probably the best known group, and they have an extensive website where they have identified a lot of people. Some of these groups are actually being funded by the Department of Justice. They're getting grants, and they're getting access to facial recognition software, and they're basically doing work that extends what the FBI would be doing. And so they'll identify people, and they will provide that information to the FBI, and eventually many of these people have been arrested and prosecuted. So that kind of thing encourages people to, and we've seen that in the cases we've covered, where neighbors will turn in their neighbors. In some cases, even children turning in their parents for being at January 6th. It has some very dark connections to different periods in our history over the past century when you are informing on and turning in your family or your neighbors. So, yes, that's absolutely true. It has become a pretty important part of really a way for the government to extend itself by using private citizens.
You know what? That sounds like a really good topic for your next video, for number three. I think people need to know about that. But let me just say, Joseph Hanneman, again, is the senior investigative reporter. He's writing on all things J6. He has been for almost 3 years. And the two videos they have are The Real Story of J6 and then The Real Story of J6, The Long Road Home. And they are so well done. You're going to see testimonies. You're going to see video from citizens, all kinds of things. People that have been caught in the crosshairs of this. And I think there's something so refreshing about truth, Joseph. I know you feel that way, too. I actually heard your quote, the quotation that I have at the bottom of each of my email, the truth is like a lion. Something about, I forgot the rest of it, actually. I have it on every email I send. But it's just gives us strength to hear the truth. I think that's a God thing because he's the God of all truth. So we're just going to keep plowing away, bringing the truth to you as Joseph delivers it. I'm reporting it on this microphone. And so, Joseph, is there anything else you would like to say before we say goodbye to you?
No, I think this is something people should continue to watch carefully and watch everything with a critical eye, and I include myself in that, is you don't accept anything at face value because there have been many lies told about this subject over the past 3.5 years, and you've got to sift through all of that to get to the truth. But as you mentioned, and that was a quote from St. Augustine, is to take a look when you follow the truth, and I will tell people that the truth is not an issue. It's a person. It's a divine person. That's Jesus Christ. If that's your guide, you can't go wrong. Eventually, it will lead you to the truth.
I cannot add to that, Joseph. Joseph Hanneman, God bless you and keep you. Oh, last question I have to ask you. Have you been in trouble at all? I mean, Steve Bannon is now going to jail for 3 months, as I understand it, and there, I'm sure I'm on a list somewhere. But have you been harassed or troubled during your reporting of this?
I have not. I mean, I was at home that day in Wisconsin watching this, so I wasn't in D.C. I have a close friend, journalist Steve Baker, who was and shot some of the best video, and he is, after 2+ years, they arrested him and paraded him in front of photographers in handcuffs. So, this continues to touch more and more people. But I have not had any issues like that I think primarily because I wasn't reporting on this at the time. So that I guess that's an advantage for me. But, I don't take anything for granted. Lots of journalists have gotten caught up and been harassed and made their jobs more difficult. And so, I always pray for protection.
Yes. Well, we pray for your protection too, Joseph. Thank you so much. God bless you. Nice to talk to you, Joseph. Thank you so much. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
There's more to the story on Alyssa and Damien. And I want to tell you that as Damien, at the time that they realized they were having twins and decided not to terminate their life, said he was a believer, but he was afraid of becoming a dad. He found an encouraging ally in one of the male volunteers. By the end of their visit, Alyssa and Damien rededicated their lives to Jesus, laying down their burdens and fears at his feet and trusting God with their twin babies. The clinic was able to come alongside this couple, providing resources, referrals, and anything else they need. That's the rest of the story, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why I'm hoping you will support Preborn by going to preborn.com/Sandy, preborn.com/Sandy, and helping couples like Damien and Alyssa and other single moms who don't have that kind of support. It's as simple as that. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
Let's start with January 6th.
Sure.
There is no evidence that it is an inside job. It was a fringe conspiracy theory.
And if you had asked me 3 years ago, is there some chance January 6th is an inside job? I would have said that was crazy talk. I would say, looking at the facts of the video footage that have come out, Dana, it is shocking that you still haven't gotten a clear answer of how many federal agents were in the field that day. Look at now the video footage of actually throwing explosives and rubber bullets into what was a peaceful crowd, then releasing to the public what came in response to that. But now look at the video footage that was released, and I'm glad we're talking about it because viewers deserve to look at that footage. Capitol Police literally letting people in who were then now prosecuted. Some of whom have gone on to commit suicide because of what the government's doing. That is a case of entrapment, and I think the government has not been transparent about this. There's entrapment going on, and this looks like a case of entrapment. And if you look at even over the last day.
What do you mean by entrapment?
Entrapment means that the police goaded people to do something otherwise than they otherwise wouldn't have done, and then they arrest them for actually doing it. I was in a different place before a lot of that evidence came out, but you have to respond to the evidence. What is your response, or what is anybody else on CNN's response to the video footage that was released of Capitol Police literally just peacefully allowing people into the Capitol?
What we know or shooting is that 850 people have been convicted of crimes.
But the reality is many of them were convicted before that information was released.
If they'd never thrown the concussion grenades, if they'd never used the pepper spray, this wouldn't have happened. It was a peaceful protest.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. That was the voice of Vivek Ramaswamy. Boy, I miss him. And Dana Bash of CNN, just a reminder of how the press has presented this and what the truth actually is. I've asked Bruce to join me. That was quite a part two, honey. By the way, Bruce, if you don't know and you're not a regular listener, was with the FBI for almost 30 years. And he's a former prosecutor from Cook County, and he joins me now. So, Bruce, that whole thing about the whistleblowers just was fascinating to me. I know you were sitting there on the edge of your seat during that, too, the FBI whistleblowers.
It's such a shame what's happened to them. And again, this just falls into this pattern of this whole J6 thing is being used as an intimidation factor. And what really is disconcerting is to hear that Republicans on these committees are some of the biggest stumbling blocks to getting to what happened in reality on January 6th. No wonder these guys like Steve Friend and O'Boyle and Allen feel betrayed. You know, and the thing is, remember when the military officer went against Trump on that phone call that
Venman.
Remember the protection that was provided to him? I mean, he was a military officer. They're held to an even higher standard of, you know, staying in the within the line of chain of command than an FBI agent. And he was protected. He was allowed to say whatever he wanted. The military did nothing to him. But no, when these guys from the from January 6th, FBI whistleblowers want to come forward, they have not been protected at all.
Oh.
And
no conservative organization has rushed to give them a job. Nothing like happens at the left.
And, you know, that's the other thing, Sandy, is with all this misconduct that's going on by the government and prosecutions, where are the bar associations? Where are the judges' associations? Even where is the ACLU? The ACLU years ago interceded on behalf of the Nazi marchers in Skokie, Illinois. That's where they were then. You haven't heard their name invoked at all trying to say, hey, you know, we think some people's rights were violated in this judicial process.
No, and on the congressman, you know, for years I could not get people that serve in Congress to do anything, with the exception of Ron Johnson and Louie Gohmert and Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene, and there are a few others, too, that I'm leaving out. But most of them just didn't want to get involved, and they thought that the J6ers were guilty, too. And the ignorance, they didn't want to know what the truth was, and it's true. What he said about the congressional staffers and the leaders in Congress not helping, you could take that to the bank in spades. So the bottom line I want to say to all of us today is, look, this would indicate to some of you listening that you shouldn't get involved, that you shouldn't take a stand, that you shouldn't step out. And I believe me, I think that's quite the opposite of what God has called us to do. Those of you that are serious followers of Christ, you're going to get banged. You're going to get whacked pretty soon, no matter what happens, because we are leading into some very dark times. And if President Trump wins, I will be on my knees thanking God. But that doesn't mean it's going to be, there's going to be challenges in this world as long as we're living here. And I would encourage you to be bold and be brave. The end of the story has not been written yet. So just hold on to your horses and keep your resolve. Honey, thank you for joining me. Thank you. But meanwhile, I want to say goodbye to you. You know you can call us at 662-821-2040. You know you can write us at sandy@afr.net. You know you can find us on any of your favorite social media platforms. You can find us on any podcast platform, the ones that you like, Spotify, Apple, Amazon. I'm not sure what you listen to. But you can also find us on afr.net. That's home base, American Family Radio. That's easy. Go to their podcast section, and there we are, Sandy Rios 24/7. You can also go to sandyrios.com. That may be the easiest way. Just go there, and you can click on a button, and you can listen to the podcast whenever it is you're ready. That's the beauty of podcasts. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's edition. We got some more time with Joseph Hanneman. I hope you enjoyed it. I thought it was important. And I hope you'll remember to go to Epoch Times and watch those documentaries. Plus, I want you to know that you can find out information about the J6ers from their own outlet where they talk to each other, personal stuff about them, J6 Patriot News. And you can also write to them through patriotmailproject.com. That's patriotmailproject.com. And the news outlet for the J6ers, for each other, and for you to watch if you want, is J6 Patriot News. Thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.